Welcome to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. I'm James Groves, and along with my business partner, Bill Dement, we want to share our journey as small business owners with you. As owners of Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, we will attempt to peel back the curtain of owning a small business in the trade service industry and talk about the many adventures of owning a small business. Hey there, Bill.
James, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's another great day here at the old Hole in the Wall podcast studio.
Yes, and we'd like to say grinding through another podcast, but it's never grinding, is it?
Not usually.
It's always fun. We always have exciting people, knowledgeable, smart people. We always say around here, we like to assume we're not the smartest person in the room. That way we always learn something.
It's usually true, actually.
And today, you got a true Wonder Woman on the podcast again.
We got a repeat guest. We had this lady on before. Her husband's been on several times. And so I want to introduce Wendy Grant. Get my applause ready. Wendy, so glad
Welcome.
You're here.
Thanks for coming in.
Wendy is the founder and owner of Winvia. If you have heard, if you've listened to Podcast 31, I encourage you to go do so. You'll hear about her great story. It is a wonderful line of all kinds of things. What do you call it? I mean, boutique stuff, but it's like...
Yep, handcrafted skincare and room fragrances. It's pretty much how I sum it up.
Yeah.
And it's quality stuff.
Absolutely.
She brought some in last time she was here.
Yeah.
We talked about that for a long time.
We should go back and do a short just on me trying to read the ingredients of your competition versus your ingredients. It was quite funny. But... You know, we've seen you grow for a while. Obviously, I use your products. I give them out as gifts for my family whenever I can. Well, welcome back, Wendy. Thank you for being here. We've always had mad respect for you and what you've done with your business.
I'm telling you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Wife, mother, entrepreneur. And I just figured out in the pregame today that she still works full-time, James.
Yeah.
I sure do.
So Winvia is truly a side hustle.
Oh, and new pet owner.
And definitely a new dog.
Yeah,
she's dog mom.
You want to introduce your accompaniment there today?
Yeah. Our little fur baby. Her name is Emmy.
Yeah.
Actually in Japanese, Envia actually picked its name. In Japanese it means blessed with beauty.
Mm. Oh, nice.
And we've had her less than a week.
Okay.
She's a little
a new friend.
She's fresh.
Fresh.
So for those who did not listen to Podcast 31, let's just do a quick recap kind of on, you know, who you are and your business a little bit. Obviously, you mentioned your daughter's name, Envia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Winvia comes from Wendy, and Envia is a smash.
Yep.
Absolutely love it.
It's a great name. Yeah,
great name. So why don't you fill everybody in on kind of what's been going on with you?
Yeah. So had the companies, this will be year four that we've been opened, and I'm just learning a ton over the last three-ish, almost 4 years. And really the purpose of the company was to provide that healthier alternative to skincare. And then over time, just creating other products that naturally and organically complement each other. So that's where we then grew into room fragrances like room sprays and candles, and there's something else that we'll be launching later in the year under that same category.
Yeah.
A teaser.
A teaser.
Well, I love how you started, because you really started not because you were this biochemist engineer type person, but you started as a concerned mom, right? So India was not doing well with the environment here in Florida, and you had to come up with some different alternatives, right?
Absolutely. And so originally, we obviously gravitated to organic products because it's marketed as being better. But economically, it wasn't the actual best choice for us at the time. And so I just did a ton of research on my own to handcraft my own products to use on her so I can actually know exactly what was going into the product and onto her skin at the end of the day. But what's interesting is that going into and transitioning into more of a natural skincare usage season, it actually is a shift in lifestyle. So give you an example. So again, this little fur baby that's on my lap right now, Emmy, we've had her less than a week. But prior to that and prepping for her coming home, automatically I'm thinking about, okay, so what is her diet going to look and feel like? right? Talking with
the breeder, any concerned mother would.
Talking with the breeder, like, what are you giving her today? So I got that information. But of course, there's other alternatives that are a lot more healthier, in my opinion, that I think she should be growing up with. Because with puppies, I mean, this is the fastest time that they're growing in their life. Their brain, their muscles, their bones. And I want to be able to, again, start her life off right or as clean as possible. And that was the same mentality I had when I had Envia over 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to put garbage in, right? Mm-hmm. You shared a story last time about how when you started using these more natural, not just organic, because I believe that's probably one of the biggest, I don't know, scams going on right now is it's natural, it's organic, and you look at it, it's just full of garbage. Mm-hmm. So when you started using the ingredients that you know, that's kind of why I like cooking at home, because I know the ingredients I'm putting in food. I know how much salt I add, how much butter to add. I know what I'm putting in my body is not garbage. Maybe a little unhealthy, but it's not chemically induced. Mm-hmm. So what was some of the things that you had to go through and look through when you were designing? What was your first product? Was it just a lotion or skin?
It was soaps.
It was soaps? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had to find a soap that was going to help go through the, you know, she was having irritation?
Yeah, and just reacting to something on her skin. And I don't know what it was, if it was the air, if it was lotion or whatever type of product. So I had to really scale back and understand, okay, well, let's start from ground zero. And let's kind of figure out again, let's be very intentional and simplistic with what we're putting into the product. And again, it's the same philosophy that I use with the products I use today. Keep it simple.
Yeah, I know, looking at the ingredients James mentioned last time you were here, very simplistic, very natural, very basic.
And you can actually pronounce it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's outstanding. So obviously you started with the soaps. I know you've done candles, and I know you've done the room sprays, and you've done lotions, right? So those are kind of the four things. It was funny when Gerard did a podcast a few months ago, and we were joking with him. I said, you need to create a man line, just a men's line, because I use your detox soap, you know, but when I go buy it, I got to go buy it on the girl's site, so.
Can we segue into something real quick?
Yeah.
So I brought a little gift.
Ooh. Oh, we have a gift.
So Gerard did mention to me about the comments.
The man line.
And I had to take a step back. And it was great feedback, obviously. But I had to take a step back and understand, who is my customer? Mm-hmm. Who are the clients that are actually coming back? Are my returning clients? And I'll have to say the majority of them are women.
Oh, yeah.
That are in their mid-30s, that have young families. And that have that disposable income to be able to invest in themselves from a skincare, room fragrance perspective. But we don't want to ignore the other gender. So I've been planning for Father's Day, and I know it's a couple months out, but I have...
I got a feeling we're really going to like this.
Crafted a new soap blend.
She's unwrapping from the white paper and handing out bars of soap.
Which will be released for Father's Day.
Oh, that smells terrific.
Wow. Distinguished. Wow. Wow, that's
amazing. And that's a very masculine type scent, too.
Yeah.
So curious to know what scents you notice in it as you smell.
I'm catching a little bit of a mint. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I had was something.
Cedar?
Yeah.
Cedarwood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I smell cedar. Wow, that's really nice.
It's a really nice scent.
Yeah.
But there's also a patchouli essential oil in it, and it's all essential oils that I use in my... my fragrance, my skincare products, cedarwood, patchouli, cinnamon, and peppermint.
Yeah, I definitely cinnamon. Smell olive oil. No, I'm kidding. I'm just reading the ingredients now.
Cinnamon. I smell cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that is nice.
Well, that was kind of the fun part of the conversation with Gerard. I was like, listen, you know, there's already guy things on your website. There's already guy candles there's candles that I love that are in your room sprays. It's kind of like, even without having new products, you know, you've got clients. And frankly, all your 30-plus-year-old women who are buying these, they all have, hopefully, or will have men in their lives. So it's kind of a fun gift.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. That's great.
Dad, I'm going to hold mine for the rest of the podcast and just... I am curious, though. On your list of ingredients is cane sugar. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that.
All right. So it's a little soap maker secret. When you add a little bit of cane sugar into your soap recipe, it adds a lot more fluff and lather and bubbles
interesting
to the experience.
But not corn syrup.
No.
We're not eating it. It's not high fructose. No.
High fructose corn syrup.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's terrific. Nice, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I saw that you were also adding, what's your experimental phase? Because I know you do some R&D. You're always working on new products. And so one of your latest ones, what's the like the next thing that's launching? I think you just launched this new candle line, right?
Yeah, there was my spring collection that launched a couple of weeks ago. So it included a couple of new room spray scents, a couple new soap scents for the season, as well as a concrete candle.
Okay, so that's the concrete candle. Literally, is the base is concrete?
The vessel is the made vessel. Out of concrete. So okay. Can you, one more moment?
Okay, yeah.
She's digging in her mystery bag again.
Oh.
Another box emerges.
And yet another gift.
I'm giving you a play-by-play. She's just digging things out of a bag here.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Berry Bliss, raspberry, and coconut, and peach, hand-poured wooden wick concrete candle.
All right, we're going to take pictures of these and put them on the Facebook group because they're very elegant. I love this.
You are all about the scents, aren't you? Wow. The scenting, the aroma of all your products is so good. You really pay a lot of attention to that, don't you?
It's definitely top of mind. There's a ton of scents that are out there, a bunch of different suppliers that provide scents depending on season, depending on mood. And really, this particular one was released for spring. And so I wanted something that was fresh, that was new, that was a little bit
on the sweet really good.
Side. I mean, just having it in the room.
And you just hit on it briefly, beautiful. But there is a psychology of scent, isn't there? Mm-hmm. The thoughts and feelings and emotions that it would evoke. It.
Absolutely.
Actually, I mean, I always think about it, like you think of autumn, you think of, you get some pumpkin and cinnamon.
And almost a smoky ambiance. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess each season does have a different scent, but boy, oh boy.
Yeah, no, that's terrific.
I know it's definitely springy, but I could definitely use that. Anytime.
Is yours the same scent?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that is
so
terrific.
What's a little extra special about these particular candles is that the actual vessel is hand-made by yours truly as well.
So you make the actual
vessel itself, yeah. It's made out of concrete. So over the last year and a bit, I've been dabbling into this creation, doing a lot of testers, where I can tell you there's vessels all over the house. But I wanted to land on something, again, very simplistic, minimalistic, to kind of just be natural and blend in with the brand. And so this white concrete vessel.
It is. It's white, but it has a. It almost has a feel like a porcelain.
That's why I was like, it looks so nice. I was like, well, you must have bought these somewhere else, but you make them yourself.
Handmade.
That's fantastic. Handmade. That is fantastic.
You couldn't tell. The way this thing is put together, James, it's got the little rubber feet on the bottom. Did you notice that?
I noticed it.
To protect the surface.
It's so well thought out.
Thank you.
So you're going to keep all your other lines too, all your other candles you have, and just add this to it?
Correct.
Wow, very nice.
Thank you.
So during this process, when you're kind of developing, I know for us, we're always trying to figure out what's the next thing, mm-hmm. right? And frankly, when you have the same product, but yet you want to put a little spin on it, mm-hmm. thinking through, Bill always talks about, Tide. With lemon scent,
Now with lemon scent, that's right?
The new whatever that is. What's your process to think about? You're going through your already nice long arsenal of products. How do you go about thinking through what your next phase will be?
Mm-hmm. So obviously, I'm learning to really get ahead and plan ahead. So like the soaps that I had gifted, already have Father's Day in mind. But I like to look at it from a seasonal perspective. Because you can get caught up with all the different holidays over the year and just get really overwhelmed. And so prior to 2024 happening, there was a lot of planning in my head and taking time out from, I would say, late September, early October into what 2024 is going to look and feel like. And so really the thought process was, what are the big seasons that I want that were successful in the past and that I'm hearing feedback from my customers? And then I feel that I could create something a little bit new, a little different spin to what I have today. And so that's helped me to kind of scale back a little bit of what I had released before. So some of the soaps that perhaps someone had purchased in the past may no longer be on the site. And so I've scaled that back to my signature line, which are 7 soaps. But throughout the seasons, like spring as an example, I had launched 2 different soap scents. But once they're gone, they're gone.
So this is one and done.
Correct. And so similarly with the this candle, these concrete candles, I'd actually partnered with a friend that I had crossed paths with on social media. And she's phenomenal in this craft. And I had partnered with her last year where I had purchased some of her candles and essentially did a white label and sold them on my website. And so that's when I had thought, maybe I can do this on my own. Ton of research went in, obviously a lot of practicing and creating the candles and whatnot. But a lot of it comes from trial and error. A lot of it comes from being inspired by other makers, whether it's through YouTube or social media. And a lot of it is just going out and asking my existing customer base what it is that you would like. And so all that feedback is gathered together and then helping to decide kind of what the next steps are for the next season.
Want to become a business owner but not sure where to start? A hole-in-the-wall drywall repair franchise could be the opportunity you've been waiting for. As a franchisee, you'll have access to our comprehensive training program, ongoing support, and a proven business model developed to help entrepreneurs like yourself succeed. With our low overhead costs and high demand for services, you'll be able to hit the ground running and start generating income quickly. Achieve financial success while providing a valuable service to your community. Go to holeinthewallfranchising.com and take the first steps towards achieving your entrepreneurial dreams.
Well, and then what most people don't realize is that you can make a soap or candle, and there's do-it-yourself things online, but bringing it to market is not easy. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you've got an amazing logo, which is very elegant, and it works very well with all your products.
And very high-quality products.
Yeah.
Like competitive with anything on the market.
But, I mean, and I do follow you on Instagram, so I see, and I see when you're cutting your soaps, it's different than I've seen the hobby people do. I mean, you've got nice new machineries. I mean, even your labels, you know, your new label makers and your – it takes a lot, but so when you want to launch a line, it's not just, I want to make the vessel pour a candle, but you got to come up with warning labels. You got to come up with all the little sourcing and the resources for your feet. And then you got to buy the right boxes and you got to buy make the right label. Does the label look right? Is it a good design? And that, does that wear you down or is that exciting to you? Because to me, that's my jam. That's what I love, the little details like that. So I notice all of these little details that you do, even the soap, the way it's folded, and then you've got your sleeve on top of it with the ingredients and stuff. I see that. Is that a burden to you or is that just a part of the process?
It is part of the process, but that's part of the process that which I love doing. And I think to my detriment, it takes up a lot more of my time that perhaps I should be spending on other things. But I love the process. Like, I love being able to dig in and create different labels and being able to research, okay, where am I going to find these boxes that fit exactly for my products? Interestingly, I'm actually in the process of redesigning my packages. I'm working with a company who will be designing just specific packages for soaps, as an example. One of the reasons is to help cut down the fulfillment time. Because as you mentioned, James, I got to cut the wrapper to put around the soap and label that. And then I have to print the actual cigar labels, take those off, and then put that around the soap. So it's a multi-step process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So ideally, you'd want to automate that.
Absolutely. And so actually just creating soap boxes to just slide put them in.
Yeah.
So that's been a journey in and of itself, but I'm proud of where it is right now. And I'm looking to launch these new product packages, starting with the soaps by the end of this month.
Wow.
So you mentioned in your creative process that you ask your existing customer base, you know, what do you like, what do you not like, and what are we missing? But beyond that, I'm wondering, is there someone that you would kind of bounce ideas off of or collaborate with looking towards new product?
Mm-hmm. The small business community out there has been phenomenal. Just how open and welcoming and genuinely want to help others in the same space. It's so refreshing to see. And actually, on that note, Bill, there's been opportunities where I've identified mentors out there that have been in the game for several years that I've reached out to and asked them out point blank.
They can really be invaluable, can't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, just if you had a certain issue with a particular product or a process, you have someone to go to that understands your world and able to address that matter accordingly. So.
Yeah, that's kind of one of our running themes is you can't do business in a vacuum, mm-hmm. right? You have to be able to be open-minded to take feedback from other people. And frankly, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. You literally have to consult with other people. You don't want to be by yourself. Mm-hmm. We love to advocate for social referral marketing and networking, but having somebody that you can talk to. And frankly, there was a little bit of a nerve factor, like, who am I to ask this person for advice? Mm-hmm. But what we have found, and this podcast is evidence of it, people are very willing to give you that helpful hand, the helpful feedback. And when we have people on our like Gerard and like all the business coaches, they come and they give hundreds of dollars worth of advice right here on this podcast for free. Mm-hmm. And not because they're selfish, because they're not selfish, they're giving. So finding those people is important. And finding ways to get them. So, I mean, how do you find, are you in like a female network group? Are you in small business groups? Or do you just go on social media to find people that are nearby?
It's a combination. So mm-hmm. I found some Facebook groups that, again, are in the particular niche that I'm in that has been helpful. On social media, I've come across other soap makers in Australia, in London, England, that I've reached out to. And I think because we speak the same language, it's easy to have that conversation. So they're really all over.
mm-hmm. So we just went to a craft fair this weekend. Okay. And so you're not doing the farmer's market stuff, are you?
I have scaled down on my presence in that space. I think twofold. One, when in Florida season, when that hot weather comes, my products do not hold up well outdoors because there's not a lot of fairs that take place in indoor facilities. Mm-hmm. And the second, it honestly isn't my jam, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's very taxing because you have to be on the entire time that you're there. And I'm not taken away from that. And it's a great experience to be able to meet and speak to customers face-to-face so they can hear your story live and be able to answer their questions. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of my time has purposely been shifted to strategizing what my next steps are and kind of moving forward in that path.
You know what? That's really part of the growth of the entrepreneur, though, is because going in, there's this assumption that I can at least do an adequate job at every aspect of this. But at a certain point, you figure out that's not really my skill set, nor my wiring, nor my likes. I don't want it. You know, James knows there are things at home where I'm just like, I'm not geared for this. I'm really good at some of the stuff I do. And I think that's, you come to a point, and I think it's beneficial that you establish, I don't really like going out to shows, and I don't want to do that, and I'm not really good at it, but maybe I can draw somebody else in or partner with somebody else who is, mm-hmm. you know, you find a way around it or a way through it.
Well, and not to take away from those who are doing those shows, because it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, but there's a difference in your products that there's almost like an elevation from the farmer's market, you know, craft show that I see. I mean, I don't see this quality, this attention to detail in those environments. I just see people, they're really good. And I like people like making soaps. And frankly, I don't know if they're going to be there. If I do like their soap, I'm not sure I can find their soap down the road if I want to buy it again. Mm-hmm. I know I can buy this again. I know I can go to your website and it's there for me. And so I'm glad you don't. I think your time's better spent just working your weekends, because obviously you still also have your 9-to-5 and then you still do this on the side. So getting distracted.
That's
by
just
that,
amazing. Yeah. I'm still just in awe. I was the English say, I was just gobsmacked when I figured out you're still working full time and doing all this. I'm like,
gotta pay those bills somehow. So you were talking about last time about you're in some, are you in any shops or any boutiques or any spas, anything like that yet? Are you still working through that process?
Yeah, there's a few stores locally where you can find my products. And there's one store in Canada as well where our products are there. I will say, though, part of my goal for 2024 is to help increase that and really build a lot more partnerships with other boutiques or shops. One particular partnership that has been amazing is our partnership with Visit Orlando. And they've actually invited me to an event last year, September, at the Ritz-Carlton. And that was an amazing experience, from the activation setup that we, you know, worked together in designing, to the over 300 event planners that we had met that day. And so I'm so thankful for their partnership and their willingness to kind of open the doors for me to be seen and raise the awareness of OneVia with other folks.
So if you look back in the past, you know, it's almost been a year and a half since you've been on the podcast. So we were talking about it off air, but sometimes you don't see the growth or see the changes. But thinking back in the past a little bit, what are some like lessons that you've learned? Is there a failure that you're able to learn from, or just something you can take away, just so the small business person out there who is struggling knows that there is light at the end of the tunnel? Mm-hmm. Anything you got in there?
I would say to really niche down to a handful of products if you are looking to do a product-based business. When I had first started, I was just going out the gate with everything in my mind of here's this soap scent, but there wasn't really any intention behind it. And then when you think about all the additional products that you create and want to offer others, it comes with a lot of more ingredients that you have to host and hold in stock. And so it got very overwhelming. And so as you're in the game longer, you get to learn what is most popular with your customers, where you can scale down and where to narrow in on, because then it makes it a lot easier when you're trying to market those products, when you're trying to create, social media posts around it or writing blogs about it. You can really narrow in on whether it's the benefits or the product itself or what it's going to offer them. So that would kind of be one of my first things. And just really kind of, as I mentioned this before, just kind of scaling back to really narrowing in on where it is that you want to focus. Because they always say, again, you got to know your customer when you're marketing, right? Because if you market to everyone, you're marketing to no one, essentially. Right. So over time, I've gotten to learn who my target audience is, so I'm better able to serve them.
I like what Ken Kimball was saying when he was – Ken Kimball, right? Mm-hmm. He's talking about, imagine your business is in a magazine and everyone else in that magazine is in the exact same business. Mm-hmm. How are you presenting yourself different to stand out? I'm like, that is really good. Mm-hmm. What a good challenge. And your product does.
Yeah.
I feel like just the overall quality, the packaging, the care, the hand – the handwork involved really comes through. And I guess if you can sort of scale that feel, boy, you're really going to have something there.
Yeah, I'm a real fan. And we're here. This is what Holmwall does. I mean, we don't do a lot of things. We actually, sometimes our pitch is, here's what we don't do, because it is important to find that niche that's just right for you and your audience. We've gone through an exercise here where we try to create who is our avatar. And we have two here. We call her Helen the homeowner. That's the homeowner side. And we have Tony the tradesman, and that's the person we do the business to business style work with. And we spend, many hours just kind of honing who they are, developing a picture of who they are, just so you can get that laser sharp focus, so you're not just out there blasting money on social media ads and stuff everywhere. So I applaud you for that. So have you had any big shutdown failures yet? Have you had anything that's made you just, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore?
There was a moment at the beginning of 2024 where I really honestly lost my confidence in soap making.
Really?
And I've been making soap for over 10 years. So essentially, come back from the holidays, ready to, just hit the ground running. And I had made, I think it was 8 slabs of soap, which equates to about 70-ish bars of soap. And essentially, when you make the soap, you let it saponify, which is the process of the oils and the sodium hydroxide turning into soap molecules. And it takes about 24 to 48 hours for that to be done. So that's the time when I can unmold it, the soap out of the mold. And at that time, it was extremely soft, softer than it should be, to the point where you can actually grab the soap and mold it into a ball or whatever shape you wanted to. And I was just I'm like, okay, something obviously went wrong. There was a tweak in the recipe that I did try and do to help try and scale how to making soap. So I said, okay, I'll write that off. Try another set of batch. And what happened with that, there were actually small chunks of lye molecules in there. So what lye is sodium hydroxide, which if it touches the skin can really irritate it. So it's not safe at all to use. And there were multiple sessions of these soaps being made. And I'm like, what is going on? I have no idea. I'm trying to think back. What is that ingredient or the process that is off? And as I reflected, there was one ingredient that I had purchased from a different company for the first time, which is the sodium hydroxide. And so I contacted them. I told them about what was happening. They gave me some tips. I tried another batch. The same thing was happening. And this was going on for several weeks, if not a few months, actually. So that's obviously eating into inventory, eating into profits and, you know, the opportunities of selling these bars. And so I had to just switch my process a little bit, switch some ingredients because I bought new sodium hydroxide. And it turned around, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I really lost my confidence at one point, which is when I had reached out to this mentor and was trying to get some advice, and she was giving me some things to do differently. But man, that was a season I do not want to face again.
Oh, fortunately, yeah. You were able to sort through it and mm-hmm. get to the root of the problem.
Yeah, but so obviously there's money involved because mm-hmm. you got product that you can't use. It's correct. Wasted. It's all garbage. And then you got your time that's involved. And then I've got customers that need soap that I don't have soap to provide for them. Mm-hmm. So now I've got to get, you know, so now you're kind of backlogged. So I can see how that's stressful mm-hmm. for sure. So now looking back, what is your most successful product?
So I actually did some research for 2023. And my top three items that sold were, number three was my Goddess soap. So the Goddess soap is a feminine bar that has rosemary and peppermint essential oil in it, and it's specially made with apple cider vinegar to help balance the pH down below. Number two spot was our lavender room spray, and number one spot was our Elevate room spray. So that's a citrus scent with orange, lemon, and vetiver, and that's been a huge, huge, huge hit.
And what was the one you had for the holidays?
Festive,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So out of all the ones that I've smelled, that's my favorite one. Okay. Is that a one and done?
That is a seasonal item.
Seasonal item, yeah. So anything else? Any more tips you got out there for us?
Yeah, I would say that when it comes to outreach to your customers, of course, there's social media and you have your X amount of followers and such, but we don't own the rights to social media. So if social media were to just completely shut down, there is no way for us to get in contact with the folks that are following along on our journey. And so one thing that I had learned was email marketing is you cannot ignore that. Because the emails where you have consent by someone and giving them your email, you now kind of own that email and you are in control of when you communicate to them, how often you communicate to them, what you want to communicate to them. And so that has been a massive tip that I've leaned into a lot over the last 6 to 8 months and learning about more about email marketing, different platforms. There's one platform that I'm actually transitioning over in the next month or so that's a little bit more user-friendly and where I am in my business at the moment. But to be able to put things on automation, whereby if someone signs up for your newsletter, you can create a sequence where every day, every 2 days, it'll get pushed to them so you can set it and forget it. If there are launches that are coming up, you can plan out what that campaign looks like. And, you know, having listened to Trish Murphy from Smarty Pants on your show the other day, and there were so many things that she mentioned that was just resonated with me because I'm so in tune with what's happening in the email marketing world that language makes sense to me now. But that would definitely be a tip for me for other small business owners is try to gain email addresses from your customers so you can continue that conversation with them. So if you're a product-based business and you're at markets, have a clipboard out there, as simple as that, and have them write their email address so you can stay in contact. Have something on your website, if you have a website, where you're gathering, again, those emails to house them into a database so that you can continue to reach out to them at the right point.
It's really so simple, but we all forget about it. I personally don't like email marketing. Trish keeps yelling at me, it's time for a newsletter. But we're always looking for the new customer, but we can't forget about our existing customers. Mm-hmm. The repeat customers is who keeps that financial plate spinning.
Yeah, you already own that customer.
They're there. You've already proven, you know, so... And frankly, they may not be thinking about it, and they see your email. I unsubscribe from a ton of emails, but I also don't. Because that one time that I need new tires for my Jeep, I'll see an email when it comes in and there's a sale, I'll buy new tires because I'm waiting for that one email. And I realize that maybe I'm forgetting that on our side as well, that we need to have some of that. So being able to capture your existing customers, new customers that maybe just want to learn more about your business, that's a very good tip. Very good tip at all. So what's next? What's your kind of like growth plan? I mean, how big do you need to get before you say goodbye to your other job? And, you know, are you just, you know, I mean, what is the next plan? I mean, in the next year, you get the holidays coming up, you got all kinds of fun things. What's in the... Only if you can share it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing for me, and I think I mentioned this earlier on the show, was building more brand awareness through wholesale partnerships. And so when you think about it, if there are stores across the state or across the country that have your products in them, that is an easy way to market yourself to other people that you may not have crossed paths with. And so that's definitely on my list of things that I'm doing this year to help move towards that. I think ultimately, though, and I don't know what the path is for this, my goal is to become a shark on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would love to be in that position to be able to offer advice and to partner with other aspiring entrepreneurs and helping them grow. Like, that's my ultimate goal.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I don't see why that isn't possible. I'm just not sure how to make that happen either. So I know we're coming into some holiday, we just got out of the holidays, but as a business owner, I'm thinking through what I'm going to be doing with my customer appreciation moving forward. You mentioned that you do some white label things as well. Like, if we wanted to partner with you to do a hole-in-the-wall scent or fragrance or something, we could do that, right?
Absolutely.
And then we could put our logo on your boxes and stuff. What kind of lead time are you looking at for things like that? So if you want to think about, hey, we want to do... end of the year, you know, something nice for our existing customers. No promises out there, by the way, but just curious. you need some time to make that happen, right?
Yeah, it is a process. Yeah. It's hard to put a number to that lead time because it all dependent upon what that client is looking for, what scents they want, the back and forth of smelling the different scents. So that's kind of one aspect. The second aspect would, what is the label going to look like? Like, do they have their own label design or is it something we need to do in partnership? And the packaging, of course, will fall under that. So there's a number, and then quantity, of course, that also plays a part. So there's a number of different factors that we can certainly get into that conversation and then understand the next steps afterwards.
What are some of the areas that are doing white labels right now or that you've seen done in the past?
Soaps, for sure. Room sprays, candles. So, I mean, a lot of the products that I offer today, depending on the business and what they're looking for, can be white labeled.
And what kinds of businesses are using the white label?
So it's funny because it's hard to tell because there can be a company out there that's selling the same products as me but may not be making them. Mm-hmm. And they won't broadcast that they don't make them. They're just selling it. They're selling the benefits, selling the products.
So yeah. Well, I always notice when we're traveling and we go to a hotel, we tend to see that in – I'm just like, I'm sure Hilton is not making this stuff.
Well, it's funny. We were traveling. We did some traveling with Airbnbs, and we did a trip overseas to Cancun, to Cancun a couple years ago. And I noticed that in their villas and in their areas, they had their brand. Obviously, they didn't make their own soaps. So I'm just curious. I mean, that might be one area. So if you have because we're in the land of short-term rentals here in mm-hmm. Central Florida. Maybe potentially like realtor gifts. Like you partner with a big realtor brokerage. They got 300, 400, you know, realtors. It'd be a great closing gift for somebody.
There are gift basket companies that promote that as well. They obviously don't make their products, but they will work with other companies to kind of curate a basket of gifts to put together for realtors. There is, I work with a number of financial advisors that have, you know, their client base, and as a gift for them, either on their birthday or their anniversary of being a client of theirs, I partner with them to diarize when to send out those gifts. That's another option there. Realtors, again, is another one. Airbnbs, hotels.
There's a line out there. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about launching a body wash line?
It's funny because I've gotten that request from a number of people, and I haven't as yet, but as more requests come through, this is something I might have to look into.
Yeah, just thought crossed my mind. I was actually talking with Crystal from C3, and that's one of the things that she's like, I love body washes. It's like, oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Wendy, thank you for coming in. If people wanted to get a hold of you and your products, what's the best way to find you?
Sure. You can visit our website at Wenvia, WENVIA.com. Or on Instagram at Wenvia_naturals.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for being here. I appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks for coming in again.
Good stuff. I love the growth, and I love having really inspiring people on. So thanks very much.
All right, appreciate it.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
We'd like to thank you for listening to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. If you'd like to learn more about us and our business, check us out at holeinthewall.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to start a hole-in-the-wall franchise, go to holeinthewallfranchising.com.